grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. Let us pray. Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and enfold and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Go back and get one of those bags from Jeannie.
A reading from Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday. In the presence of the men and women and those who could understand, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 19 responsibly. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day tells it.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound
comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forward.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The
fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
Lord,
by them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound, and the innocence of a great offense. Reading from 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink the one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think are less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Last Monday, President Obama put his hand on not one, but two Bibles and took the oath of office and gave his inaugural address. He selected the Abraham Lincoln's Bible and a Bible that had belonged to Martin Luther King Jr. And in using those two Bibles, the president was telling the nation that the goals and the dreams of those men were his inspiration and aspiration. The gospel that we heard this morning is a report of Jesus' inaugural address. When he was just getting started, he went back to his hometown of Nazareth, to the people with whom he had grown up. He had already gotten some sort of a reputation, and everyone who heard him speak thought he was pretty amazing. So far in Luke's gospel, Jesus hasn't healed anybody, hasn't multiplied the loaves and the fishes, hasn't cast out any demons. So far, the only thing Jesus has done is teach in the synagogues. And yet, news of him had reached back to his hometown. People were really impressed with this young man. He was a regular at worship, and they were looking forward to hearing his commentary on the scripture text on that Sabbath day. The prophet Isaiah wrote that the Spirit of the Lord filling him with such an urging, such a power, that he could do nothing else. He had to bring good news to the poor, to everyone who was bound up, held down, broken in spirit, everyone in poverty, in prison, in need of the word of the Lord, everyone of God's children who so desperately needed a year of favor of the Lord. And here was Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, making his inaugural address, and he selects for the Bible that he places his hand on the prophet Isaiah, this particular passage. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. They wanted to know, what was he going to say about that scripture? They wanted to know, what were his plans, his vision? What's your mission statement, Jesus? He initiated his public ministry with a simple pronouncement of what was going to matter to him. When Jesus was baptized, we heard this story a couple weeks ago. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him, and he was filled with the Spirit. And it's clear that Jesus was deeply living the life of the Spirit and intended to make that his path in life. And this is what Jesus said the life of the Spirit would look like. Jesus said, "This is what I will be doing." This is his mission statement. He would be focused and centered on good news for the poor, release for the captive, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed. His whole ministry could be measured against that mission statement. This really tells us who Jesus is. But not only that, this tells us who we are to be as the body of Christ in the world today. This isn't only Jesus' mission statement. This is our mission statement. We are the body of Christ in the world today, and this is our mission statement. Jesus didn't just link his goals and dreams to the prophet Isaiah. He claimed them as his own. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He didn't just refer back and say, "I want to be like that too." I am doing that. And in our baptism, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we claim that mission statement. We claim that Holy Spirit as our own as well. On that Sabbath day in Nazareth so long ago, Jesus did the unexpected, the unimaginable. He claimed those words as his own personal mission statement. The reason that God's Spirit came crashing down on him at his baptism was to empower him to do precisely this: bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to announce a jubilee year when God's justice would reshape society. Jesus takes this all on as his own mission statement, but he's not content to leave it only as a string of nice-sounding words. Everything that follows in his life amounts to the living out of that prophecy that he claimed for himself that Sunday, that Sabbath morning in Nazareth. He keeps doing this every chance he gets, every time he turns around. And he continues to do this today. What he talked about on that Sabbath morning so long ago, Jesus continues to do through us in the church today. This is how Jesus works today, through us, the body of Christ, through each of us and through all of us who are baptized into this body. Jesus still lives out that mission statement, bringing good news to those who don't have any, setting free those who are chained in captivity, opening blind eyes, helping the oppressed and exploited find a life, removing all the barriers that would limit God's reign of justice and peace in the world. Jesus still does these things because we, the church, do them. The poor gain hope, whether it's their souls or their bodies that are starved. The captives experience freedom, whether they're imprisoned in jail or prisoners of a mental illness. The blind receive sight, whether it's through the cataract surgery at the hands of a gifted surgeon or the scales of prejudice falling off of the eyes of a bigot. The oppressed are set free, whether the oppression is a political regime or an addiction. When Jesus read that passage in the synagogue in Nazareth, he announced a mission statement for himself and for his body, for the church. Today's reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians is another important word on how we, the body of Christ, the church, live out that mission statement of Jesus. As we try to keep faithful to those words that Jesus read out and lived out, we pay attention to three points that Paul was making in this letter to the Corinthians. One, all members of the church have gifts for ministry. Underline all. Members of the church have different gifts for ministry. We don't all have the same gift. We have different gifts. And number three, that it takes all of the different gifts that we have to make the church whole. We are not whole when some are absent. We are not whole when some hold their gifts private. We are not whole when some refuse to share their gifts with the church. This is our mission statement. These are our marching orders as a spirit-filled, ministry-gifted people of God. We are the church. We are the body of Christ in this place. And this is our mission statement. We don't have Abraham Lincoln's Bible here. I don't have the King Bible here. We don't even have the scroll of Isaiah to place our hand upon and to swear allegiance. But we have something better than that. We have ourselves, our baptized bodies, our spirit-filled selves. So I would invite you, as baptized people of God, to make your inaugural address, to swear allegiance to Jesus Christ and his mission statement. So place your hand on your spirit-filled, baptized body, and repeat after me. You have to state your name when I say that part. I am a baptized child of God, a member of the body of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor.
The Spirit
has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to help the blind recover their sight. Has sent me to help the blind recover their sight. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to free the oppressed. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim justice and peace. And today, this scripture is fulfilled in our hearing. And today, this scripture is fulfilled in our hearing. Amen.